Our New Testament reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, the second chapter, verses 1 through 12. Gospel of Matthew, the first Gospel of the New Testament, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born, King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Jerusalem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of God. Over the past 30 years of pulpit ministry, I've probably preached on this passage a good 25 times. For some reason, every Christmas season, we are faced with this passage from Matthew chapter 2. And so I'm sure that many of you will have heard this sermon or a sermon on this text more than a couple of times. It's my prayer that as you hear it, you will, like me, discover something new once again, and that God's voice will speak to you through the text this morning. This is the story of the three kings, found only in the Gospel of Matthew. However, they're not really kings. And there weren't three of them. In fact, there were only three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Nor were they huddled around the holy manger with baby Jesus and the local shepherds on the day of Jesus' birth. In fact, Jesus was probably about 2 years old by the time these travelers found their way to Bethlehem by way of Jerusalem. Now, over the years, this band of travelers have been called both kings and wise men. And it's in efforts to translate the Greek word that we find in the passage here in the original text. The Greek word being magus, or magi in the plural. It's the word from which we get the word magic or magician. Now, Many have suggested that these travelers, these magi, were in fact Persians. Persians astrologers. Possibly even worshippers of the Persian god Ahura Mazda, the Persian god of the Zoroastrians, known as the Lord of Wisdom. And thus we have the term the wise men, the followers of the Lord of Wisdom. Later on, as tradition grew and as this text found its way into the liturgy of the church year after year, other traditions emerged. Among them, the tradition of turning them into local, multi-ethnic bands of country leaders, otherwise kings. There were three of them by now. Malchior, often an Arabian. Kaspar or Gaspar, often someone from Turkey, although, as many of you will know, Turkey isn't exactly east of Jerusalem. Belshazzar, usually a dark-skinned North African. In the Armenian tradition, Melchior was usually Persian, and Kaspar was Indian, from India, and Belshazzar was usually an Arabian. Whoever they might be, they came as bearers of good news. Good news of a star that they had seen rise in the east, and they had interpreted it as a celestial sign announcing the birth of a child who would become king of the Jews. Good news of a star. Now, the wise men had hoped that this king would be a benevolent king, a good, a kind, a fair national ruler. The philosopher Plato might have described him as a philosopher king, one who had the best interests of the people in mind. And these magi had interpreted the star as sending them to Judea to celebrate the birth of the next king of the Jews, the one who would come after their current king, King Herod. Now, at the time, Herod the Great was ruling over the land of the Jews controlled by the Romans. He was the king of the Jews. He was overseeing Jerusalem and its people. And so the Magi traveled to Jerusalem, made their way to the palace, to King Herod, expecting to find Herod's child, the one who would one day rise to the throne. And yet, it came as a surprise even to Herod. You see, what strikes me about the way that the Magi viewed this Messiah that was to come, this Christ child they were coming to, as I look at the way the Magi first viewed this Jesus, I'm struck by how much they misunderstood who Jesus was going to become, who this King of the Jews was actually going to be. For you see, the Magi saw him as a future political leader. The Magi saw this newborn King of the Jews as a ruler to get to know. They wanted an inside track to the circles that this king traveled in, circles of power and wealth and status. Like every wise politician, they wanted to make the first encounter a memorable one. Knowing this king was a sure way to future favors and blessings. Hopefully, unlike the current violent, tyrannical King Herod, this future king would be more benevolent, better, kinder. And this is still the way far too many Christians continue to view Jesus. They view Jesus as a path to privilege and prosperity. A privileged track to God, bringing special favor along with blessings of health and wealth and status for those who know him better than everyone else, those in the know, those who have pledged allegiance to this benevolent king. If we do good to this king, if we serve him well, then he will serve us well. For Christians such as these, the angel's promise of peace to those on whom God favors becomes a promise of special privilege rather than a promise of shalom, salam, peace, wholeness, and oneness with God. This is the kind of king the Magi hope to find in Jesus, a benevolent king, and yet one who was a powerful political leader, bringing a hope of blessing to those loyal to him. And yet that's not how Herod saw this Christ child. Herod saw this Christ child very differently, not as a benevolent king, but rather as the promised Messiah of Scripture. The aha moment, the moment that brought something new to me this morning or this week as I was preparing for this morning, was the realization that Herod knew from the very start that this might be the Messiah, the anointed one, the one who was promised to come and reclaim the throne that once belonged to King David. And Herod was afraid that this king of the Jews was possibly, maybe, that king, that anointed one, that Messiah that had been promised to one day make all things new. And he interpreted that as someone who was going to claim his throne, to unrule him, overthrow him of his legitimate power given to him by Rome. He was the reigning king of the Jews, and he wanted to stay that way. And in fact, Herod the Great was known to have murdered his own sons to keep them away from the throne. Magi's message was not good news to Herod. You see, when the Magi reached King Herod's palace, Herod had no clue about this star or this birth of a king. He must be a usurper to the throne, one trying to claim what was not his to claim, a wannabe king, a rebellion in the making, built on a promise of a Jewish Messiah, a threat to King Herod that had to be dealt with quickly. Now, Herod was known for killing his sons, as I've mentioned. And so the leap to trying to kill Jesus was no leap at all. And Herod could use the Magi to serve as his eyes and ears to locate the child. And so he informed them that he would like to know where that star came, when it came, and that, please, let me know when you find him. There would be no usurper king. under King Herod's reign. And so also today, there are many who view Jesus as a usurper king. Like Herod, they view Jesus as one who is a threat to existing political power. Those in the halls of power fear allowing the teachings of Jesus to make their way into the public square. They buy into this idea that Jesus came to overthrow governments, to replace one government with another power, this one a power that comes as the Messiah. And so you find political rights groups believing that faith in Jesus can be wielded like a weapon to empower them and to overthrow these powers and to bring about a Christian society so now that Christians could be in control. And thus, when such Christians enter the public square, they enter with battle cries, ready to overthrow the enemy. And they lift up this Jesus as some victorious battle warrior to overthrow the king. They fight to preserve and to perpetuate a narrow Christian agenda, which comes with control. Christian prayers in school, Christmas trees and nativity scenes in public venues, family values at war with those who don't agree with them. And yet that's not the Christ child that we see in this story. It's not the child that the Magi found in Bethlehem. The Christ child of Bethlehem was not a benevolent king to be allied with in the hopes of personal gain. Nor was he a usurper king to be used as a weapon to overthrow legitimate power. Instead, what they found when they went to Bethlehem was a Savior sent of God to announce and the fulfillment of God's kingdom and to be a shepherd for God's people. The Jesus the Magi found, this Jesus that Matthew talks about throughout the gospel by describing him as King of the Jews, this Jesus comes proclaiming a kingdom that is not of this world, a kingdom of God, or as Matthew calls it, the kingdom of heaven, where God reigns. Both in this life and in the life to come. A king less concerned with power and political might and more concerned with service and love and things not of the world. A king willing to die for his subjects rather than fight in the halls of power. A Savior more concerned with spiritual wholeness than physical health, offering hope and peace and joy and love, our four candles, and redemption rather than silver and gold and platinum and financial prosperity and power. A Savior and Lord and King reigning over a kingdom not of this world and yet coming into this world as we speak. An eternal reign able to exist in the now and to thrive even in the midst of oppression and earthly tyrants. And thus the question that we are left with on this Christmas. In fact, the question that we must face each Christmas remains, what kind of King of the Jews have we welcomed into our heart this Christmas? Who is this King of the Jews born to us in Bethlehem? What kind of king do we long to worship and serve? They are all attractive. Is it benevolent King Jesus? The kind and fair Jesus? Who the Magi initially went out to find? The Jesus we hope to pledge our allegiance to so that we can get something from it? If we're nice to Jesus, he'll be nice to us. Or is it the usurper king that we welcomed into our heart this Christmas? A king to be feared, not only by us, but by our enemies. A king that we can use to overthrow and to oppress as we were once oppressed. A king which seeks out power. Or did we welcome into our hearts this Christmas the king whom Jesus talks about, whom Matthew talks about? The king of the realm which is not of this world, but that is even now coming into this world. Here but not yet. The king of God's realm, announcing the coming of the kingdom as we speak. A king willing to bear the title of King of the Jews, not only when it's celebrative, as we celebrate now, not only in Bethlehem when the Magi gathered and said, "Here is the King of the Jews. Let's bring him gifts of frankincense and gold and myrrh." Not only this King of the Jews, but the King of the Jews that Matthew continues to talk about throughout his gospel, and eventually which leads to another sign, not a star in the sky announcing the birth of the King of the Jews, but a wooden sign nailed on the cross that proclaimed him King of the Jews. This is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. As it hung on his cross at Golgotha, on Mount Calvary, and became the fulfillment of the promise that was made in that manger and at the coming of the wise men, the Magi. A king who would willingly die to fulfill a greater end, that we might be shepherded by him. A sign on his cross that answered the question that Pilate had asked him when he confronted Jesus at his trial and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Into which, according to Matthew, Jesus answered, "You have said so." Which King of the Jews have you welcomed into your heart this Christmas? Let us pray. O gracious God, with Christmas comes an opportunity to celebrate, also to experience the difficulties of day-to-day life. But in the midst of it all, O God, you remind us that it's not about the trees or the gifts, but about the birth of a child, the King of the Jews, whose title would lead them from manger to the cross. O God, open our hearts that we might welcome in this Christ child, this King of kings and Lord of lords, and that we might accept his love for us, his death and resurrection for us, his longing to shepherd us, both now and in the age to come. For it is in his name that we gather. It is in his name that we pray. Amen.